Morning Park Church. Thank you, Mary, for prayer and worship team. It is good to gather and worship through song and through prayer, is it not? And welcome to 2018. You already made a major decision today. If you're like me, it's like, oh, I'd really rather stay under the warm covers this morning, you know? But do I decide to get up, you know? Some of you are like that as well, right? And today I want to talk about today and next Sunday, spend some time with you in one of the most common and well-known stories in the Bible. And yet it holds some invitation to us that most of us have not thought about fully. So that's what we want to do. We'll be in Luke chapter 10. And to introduce that, I want to say, you know, what are some of the common questions for us in the new year? What have been some of your common questions so far that you've been asking? Like, some of the conversations I hear and questions are like, well, okay, what are my goals? What are your goals for 2018, right? Have you not thought about that? Well, it's okay to get started, right? Or what more commonly, well, do you have what are your New Year's resolutions? You know, are there things with, what are those often about? You know, like our health, our weight, our money, what might be better, you know, this year or the next? Those are common questions that a lot of us are thinking about in the new year, right? In Luke chapter 10, we're going to look at probably the most common question that was being discussed on the street in Jesus' day. So we're going to begin with that, and I'll tell you where we're going to end. We're going to end with an invitation for you in the new year that comes right out of this very, very familiar part of the Bible and story that Jesus told. Are you ready? So if you have your Bibles, hard copy, as Matt said, old-fashioned, you know, that's fine, or your device, or up on the screen, find your way to Luke chapter 10, and we're going to dive right into this because this is, while it's so familiar, please tune in. Listen up. And we'll learn, I think, some new things together from a very familiar, to many people, part of the Bible. So it goes this way in Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 25. And just then, a lawyer, that idea was this was an expert in the religious law, knew the Torah, the Old Testament. So a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, and here was the question he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, I want you to think, this question was one of the most common ones being asked during the time of Jesus. What must I do to inherit? A different kind of question than we tend to ask ourselves, isn't it? You know? Jesus said to him, well, what is written in the law? Oh, what do you read there? Notice he answers the question with a question, and he draws on the expertise of this gentleman. And so he answered back, well, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jewish religious leaders would have quoted that twice every day. It was, I want to comment and then we'll go on and read this. That's the sum of the law, of God's direction to his people. And then Jesus heard that and he said to him, verse 28, you've given the right answer. Do this and you'll have life. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, and this is the story that almost all of you know. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, He passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. That word that we more often use is compassion. And he went to him and bandaged his wounds, and having poured oil and wine on them, then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, said, "Take care of him, and when I come back, I'll repay you whatever more you spend." And which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber? It's another question. He, or the lawyer, said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Very familiar story. What do we often call it? Help me. Good Samaritan, right? Yeah. In fact, that's even most people around you, schools, neighbors, they would know Good Samaritan is often like this little saying for what, like it's an idea of, well, somebody who's sacrificially helpful. And, that's part of it. But today and next week, I'm going to look at kind of some layers underneath that, because it's actually very profound and can have a significant meaning for how we live our daily lives. Let's follow the story a little bit. And did you picture the story that Jesus told? If not, let's go back over it and highlight some details. I'm going to highlight some details, call out 3 points, and then I'm going to give you one invitation today. So there was a certain man, as Jesus told this story. We assume a Jewish man because of where he was and how he told the story. He was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, if you were there that day, listening to Jesus tell the story, these were like 2 real towns. This would have been very familiar. This would be like saying, okay, I'm going from Tent Falls to Asbury Park. Right? But here's the thing. So this is a real place. People knew of these towns. They knew of this road. I want you to picture this, though. If you know Israel, Jerusalem is about like 3,000 feet or so above sea level. Jericho is almost 1,000 feet below sea level. Some of you may have been there. This particular road, it's about 17 miles. And so, can you picture that? This is like a winding road. It is going down. And there are rocks and kind of caves and stuff. And this road was a known road. You know what it was known for? Not only its descent, but it was known there were like robbers and like difficult people. That was their hangout. And especially individuals who go down this road. It was a great place to like steal stuff and rob people. That was happening. So this was a very familiar kind of a story and thing as Jesus told this. That road actually had a name. The name meant Bloody Pass. You can guess why, right? It was a journey in a very, very dangerous place of the time. Kind of an image of life. Are you thinking about that? We could go and tell more stories, but it's sort of like life, you know? It can be very, very dangerous, and we can be exposed to different things that would be hard. As Jesus goes on and tells this story, there's this man, the robbers stripped him, beat him, went away, leaving him half or almost dead. Can you picture that? This isn't just like a rough day at the office, or like you got a C on your exam, kind of a hard day. This is one of those times in life where it felt very much life or death. Some of you are kind of in a spot like that even yourself now. Maybe not beaten and stripped and laying on the side of the road, but It's like a life and death kind of a thing, you know? If you aren't, you're around people that are. By chance, if you were there listening to Jesus telling this story, he said, and by chance, in other words, next, there's a priest that come by. Now, the religious expert, the lawyer, the expert in the law, he would have probably thought as Jesus brings up the priest, oh good, here comes the priest. That's good news, isn't it? Priest leaving Jerusalem, coming down the road, comes upon a person in need, and then this would be stunning. Jesus says the priest kind of looks the other way and passes by. Or looks and passes by. Huh. Message is, here's a fellow who like knew God's word and knew of God's love, studied it, taught about it, and is not like living it. Whoa. That's not good news. Well, then a Levite, what's that? This isn't like one of the main people around the temple. Levites are ones, they would do daily service things around the temple. So they were like religious workers, and this guy does like the same thing. Sees somebody in need and passes by. I want you to picture this. The next thing Jesus said, I don't know. It would have been really interesting to have been there if Jesus told the story, because I've got this idea that this lawyer, his face would have just turned fire red when Jesus brings up the next thing. We just read it. But a Samaritan. Now, if you know the history of that time, some of you will remember, like, it was actually for over 500 years, there's bad blood between the Jewish people in the southern part and the Samaritans up north. Huge history to this. I won't bother to go into right now. But it was like generations old. Jews did not have much like at all for the despised Samaritan. In fact, if you were a Jewish person that day, one of the worst things you could have been called was a Samaritan. Despised people. The Jewish people, if they needed to travel from the north into Jerusalem, they would not even walk through the Samaritan territory to be close to those kinds of people. Despised ones. Not fully Jewish in their minds. So, the lawyer, the religious expert, man, his antennas would have been up when Jesus brings a Samaritan. Those people. And then he tells the story, the Samaritan sees, approaches, assesses, and intervenes to meet the need of the man in a life and death situation, a man in need. Down at the end of the story, you may have caught your attention when Jesus asked him, so like, who do you think was a neighbor? This fellow couldn't even bring himself to say the Samaritan. Did you see how he responded? Well, this is the one. This is the one who showed him mercy. You get the sense of the fellow's heart, and Jesus says, well, you go. You go and you do likewise. We're going to talk next week about some things, a couple of layers of this, because if you're thinking about it, you might go, well, how is it? How is it that we would have that kind of love? I'm going to talk some about that next week. But for today, I want to call your attention to three things. I'm hoping you pay attention today to three things, three kind of takeaways from this story. And then I'm going to give you one real practical challenge. Takeaway number one, did you notice as Jesus told this story that loving our neighbor isn't just about getting along well with those that are most like us? Or that it's the ones that are easiest for us to enjoy being around? That's not in this story. In Jesus' day, as we said, the Samaritans and Jews, they despised each other. Part of what Jesus is saying here is, do you genuinely care about people near you, about neighbors who are different and who are hard to like? This is the love of God. Even while we despised him, even when we despised God, didn't want anything to do with him, God has this great heart of compassion for us. And he not only feels for us, he intervened for us to meet our need in Christ. That's a meta message in this, a significant message in this story. Some of you know, as we've had a chance to talk, that it was 1 year ago, a little over a year ago and a month, Jan and I moved. We moved to the same town. We went from the northwest part of town to the southeast part of town, and the reason was kind of simple. We had an eye out for a reasonable time and it would be like not crazy, like difficult moving, but we wanted to make things more simple. It's part of our prayer. We like maybe a one-level living place in case either Jan or I get old someday, you know, and have we didn't want stairs, you know, and a yard. It's so simple, smaller, simple, one-level living. Well, it came up. We made the move actually a year ago in a month in December. And then it was actually, some of you called this out already this morning, it was exactly 1 year ago today that was my first visit here. Some of my partners in crime and I, we were on the ground with you and meeting you and talking with you and presenting back to you exactly 1 year ago this weekend. You know, the opportunities and challenges that are part of Park Church at this time. And so anyway, we moved, and I'm bringing up the story about our move because it was an important one. And Jan was the first one to call this out because we, you know, getting settled in, but it was hard leaving some of our former neighbors, truth be told, although we're not all that far. But here we were, we didn't know any of our immediate neighbors now in the place that we live. And it was winter. First thing I notice is like nobody's really said hi. And then I said, well, it'd be a good idea, like if we were the first ones to say hi, you know? And then I noticed things like, well, people aren't helping each other shovel snow. Well, what if I was the first one to help shovel other people's snow? You know where I'm going with this? And it goes on and on and on. Do you know that today, and this is largely because of Jan, we're having little gatherings today in the neighborhood. And I'm hoping that our neighbors would say of us, you know what, I don't get it, but Jan and Tom seem to genuinely care about us. They've learned our names. They do little things that help. They've asked about our needs. They've listened. That's been part of our opportunity and joy of this last year. But loving our neighbor is not just about getting along well with those most like us. We have some neighbors, truth be told, it's a bit challenging for me to just like them. We're probably pretty hard to like too, for some of our neighbors. And you probably have neighbors like that too. Thomas Nelson, in the Word of Life Study Bible, summarized this takeaway pretty well. And they said this: it is not the person from a radically different culture on the other side of the world that's hardest to love, but the nearby neighbor. Think about this. But the nearby neighbor, maybe whose skin color or language or rituals or values or ancestry or history or customs are different from our own. Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. With whom do you have no dealings? That's part of the story. And packed into this is, Do you have the love of God in you that extends to people with whom you normally, frankly, just don't want to have any dealings with? There are people like this in your schools, in your workplaces, those that live around you. Second thing I'd like you to observe today is, in Jesus' story, did you notice, he teaches, you know, it's not about how religious we are. Did you catch that? He's not saying, like, get more religious. That's the answer. In fact, he leans into the religious leaders of the day and says, look, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on here that people who know the Word of God and teach people, and they're, like, not living it. And then there's the unexpected one, even the despised one, who evidences this love of God to a neighbor. So notice that loving our neighbor, what does it start with? We pointed it out when we read it. Loving our neighbor starts with what? Compassion. Did you notice that? The Samaritan had compassion for this fellow that was in desperate need. When I've read this, I've thought about, you know, is that like me? I mean, how much do I walk through my neighborhood, whatever it is? And how much am I thinking about those in my neighborhood? Maybe even praying over people, like, what's going on behind closed doors? I don't know, but I do know that there's a lot of need. And there's a lot of hurt. And there's a lot of loneliness. Does that break my heart? And how about you? The people around us. Does your heart break over the things that break God's heart? And as people that are broken, people that are needy, they're right next to us. The love that Jesus teaches about here is not only having feelings or compassion for the situation of others, but true compassion results in action to meet needs. Did you see that? So it isn't like, oh, I've sensed this, it just breaks my heart, and I'm going to post something on social media about it or take a picture of it. That's not the idea. How is it that God wants us to not only feel deeply for those around us, this is how God is with us, but what kind of need is he prompting you to address people's lives? That's the love of God. That's what the love of God is like to us. I was scheduled to fly into town sometime earlier last week, and there's like this weather thing out here. So as flights were being canceled, thankfully, I was able to rebook a flight, and the reason I'm mentioning that is it ends up that my flight was supposed to go out on Friday morning out of Denver. There was a moving thing that happened in our community. So I couldn't go the freeway to the airport. We had to take back roads, which was fine. The reason was the freeway was closed. The news reported that there were over 2,000 official cars and vehicles in a motorcade leaving our little town south of Denver, going up to the south side of Denver, and then west to one of the larger churches in the Denver area. And if you were there that morning, every overpass on the freeway, there were fire trucks and responders parked with flags and standing at attention and saluting as the motorcade went through. And then as the motorcade, I've seen some pictures of this, went west along Lincoln Avenue, south side of Denver, toward Cherry Hills Community Church, people lined the streets, standing at attention. Do you know why? There's a 29-year-old man named Zach that exactly a week ago, right now, responded to a need in the neighborhood. Happened to be a sheriff. Many of you saw this on, I think it was national news, at least it seemed like it. And he went into an apartment, responding to a call. There was actually an ambush, and his life was taken. I thought as I left Friday morning, I had studied this passage, and I thought, what is this about? Look at this response in our community. Here was a young man, and he was known as one who loved God and loved his family and loved his community and sacrificially loved even to the point of giving his life a week ago today. And people came out in groves. So there was a beauty. There was an honor. Why? And if Zach was here, this was part of the memorial service on Friday at 11 o'clock in the South Denver area. Zach and his wife Gracie and their two little girls happened to go to the same church as our oldest daughter. So it's kind of close. And the pastor who did that memorial service was very gracious and very gifted. His name's Mike. And the story was told about how Zach, if he were still here today, here's the thing. We're doing these big motorcades, and we're doing, who's who in Colorado is at the memorial service, and so on. But if Zach were still here, here's what he'd say. The reason that I love God, and I love my family, and I love my community is because Jesus first loved me, and that's what he was like. And people that don't know Jesus were out to give him great honor on Friday. He responded on duty and off duty with compassion that led to action that met needs of people. How are we doing? When we see it, we know that it's very godlike. There's a great beauty and dignity to it. Loving our neighbor starts with a heart of compassion that leads to action. Are you thinking with me? Yeah. Third thing, you might be saying, well, this religious leader, he had this question. So tidy up the answer. Who is our neighbor? Are you thinking about that? Who's your neighbor? The Bible word neighbor means somebody that's close by. So biblically, it's absolutely accurate to say our neighbor is the one who, anyone who's close by and in need. So guess what? We all have a neighbor. You have people close by you, and you have people close by you in need. That's what Jesus is talking about here. And did you catch the sum of the whole law? It's love God with everything you've got. And love your neighbor as yourself. That summarizes it. Jesus taught that. This religious leader knew that. How are we doing with it? This lawyer wasn't doing so well with it. We'll talk about that more next week, probably why. Last thing I want to talk with you about, though, is I want you to be thinking about, you have neighbors, you have people near you, close by you, that have a lot of needs. How much are we thinking about that? It's easier to think about it. Did you wake up this morning thinking about your own needs or about people around you? See? If the love of God is in us and moving through us, I'm thinking more and more. Our hearts break for people close by us that are in need. I'm going to tell you one more Colorado story, and I almost apologize for it. It's not a football story. Those aren't good in Colorado right now. But there's another good story. It's actually a pastor story. Not on the south side of Denver, but the north side. It was several years ago, north side of Denver, 2009, Pastor Dave Runyon, he got this idea. He said, the Bible just talks so much about loving people around us, and I'm going to, how are we doing in our communities? This is going to issue into your challenge for the new year and mine. So Pastor Dave got together 20 other lead pastors in the North Denver area, and they wanted to talk about this. What about our communities? A lot of need. How do we think? What do we do? They were smart. They invited the mayor to come and engage them in discussion. They basically asked the mayor, how could we help? You know, they talked about community, and they said, they're just like you. What are needs in our community? Come on, what are they? There's at-risk kids. There are addictions, and there's violence behind closed doors. There's all kinds of needs around us. You know, we could make along this. Well, they talk about those, but listen to what the neighbor said. The mayor said to those people, the majority of issues facing our community, they're just like here. Listen to this, profound. The majority of issues facing our community will be eliminated, said the mayor, or drastically reduced if we could figure a way to become great neighbors. That's what he said to the lead pastors. The mayor walked out of the room and all these pastors basically said, the mayor just reminded us of what Jesus said like a long time ago. Love your neighbors. I've been pondering that as we've moved our house. I've been pondering that because of situations in our community. I've been pondering that as I've thought about the good future of Park Church. There's a lot of good things going on behind the scenes here. You're going to hear more about it in weeks to come. But here's the New Year's challenge. I think God will actively be at work if we take the New Year's challenge of loving our neighbors well, because God's first loved us. If I were to go to your neighborhood and ask them, what kind of neighbor are you? What would they say about you? I hope people in our neighborhood say about, hey, you know, Tom, I don't get it, but like, he genuinely cares about us. He like listens and asks good questions, and I hope it's like that. People don't know why, but have a clear sense that we care and love them. Imagine the influence around here. Picture this. What would happen if all of us were the first ones to initiate good conversations, to know the other's name, to shovel their snow, to understand their need, to respond to some of their need? What would happen? So Jesus is basically saying, you know, the ultimate answer isn't about our government taking care of all this. That's actually not our hope, is it? Or our social services, as important as they are. Or even our schools, as profound as they are. Love God with everything you got in response to His love to you, and love your neighbor as yourself. These are the basic things. How are we doing? So here's your New Year's challenge. Ready? Would you be willing, I dare you, learn the names of your neighbors. And if possible, one thing about them in these coming weeks. We've seen our little neighborhood begin to open up and come alive by God's grace, largely because of Jan does this really well. I don't imagine what might happen around here if we all did that. Do you know that 10% of people on the average know the names of your neighbors? Huh. Let's be different. That's your New Year's challenge. As the band comes up, we're going to sing about the one who first loved us. And then go to the communion table, and if you're not familiar with it, we celebrate. The only way we can love with this kind of love is because He first loved us. Let's pray. Father, what kind of love is this that Jesus taught about? We are not inclined this way. We'd rather want others to help us, want others to know our name first. Help us, Lord, as we know You and love You, respond to Your love. May it be true of us that we love You with everything we've got. and love our neighbors richly in this new year. For Jesus' sake, amen.